Let us pray. Almighty and ever gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the glory of this day. We thank you, Lord, that it's your day, a holy day, a sacred day, a Sabbath day, a day that you invite each of us into your midst. And so, Father, I pray that you would be with us, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, and that you would bless us. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. On behalf of all of us here at St. Martin's, it's a privilege to get to welcome you into this holy space today. As many of you know, we had to end our in-person worship last week due to the spike in COVID cases. It was disheartening, to say the least. And yet, once again, it reminded me that despite our best efforts, God is God, and we are not. And so with that, this morning, I feel like it's our due to give special thanks to our staff for their outstanding efforts that they have made to make this virtual worship possible. I don't know about you, but not being able to come into this space regularly is hard. You see, the church was built to bring us into the presence of God. From the moment you walk in through each of these doors, you are reminded of how big God is. The church itself was built as a refuge. It was built as an escape from the world. Everything you see in this place was created to remind us of God. The stained glass that reminds us of our history. The altar where we gather to share a meal. The baptismal font reminding us of our belonging to Him. Whatever your struggle, this church allows you to come into the presence of God. And in our gospel lesson today that Jane read for us, the words of Jesus greet us as we walk through the doors of the narthex. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. In many ways, the church is also a place of rest. It is a place where we are encouraged to breathe. It is a place where God welcomes us into His midst. As a child, I found great refuge in this space because you see, it was a safe place. It was a place where I found unconditional acceptance. It was a place where I could lay down my burdens, knowing that I'd be a different person when I left. The church itself has provided a sense of comfort and a sense of strength. Now, after over 114 days of this pandemic, one of the strangest things is not being able to enter into this sanctuary. I know how hard it has been for you, because many have reached out and shared that what makes this season even harder is the inability to come here on Sunday. You miss not seeing your friends. You miss not actually worshiping in God's house. The things we've taken for granted are suddenly not so available. All of which, my brothers and sisters, creates a loss. And like any loss, it has made our life hard, and we feel disrupted. This, my friends, is normal. And my advice during this time is to not deny or dismiss those feelings. And I'm actually giving you permission to grieve. But like so much in life, this is a season that is not going to last. There will be a day when our prayers will be answered and a vaccine is made. There'll be a day when we will regather in this familiar space to celebrate together. Until that time, we wait. And like the many examples we find in Scripture, none of us waits alone. You see, God is with us, and He will see us through. Much like our opening collect, we are called to open ourselves up to the grace of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us through these unprecedented times. In the 1930s, in the height of one of the most traumatic times in our American culture, a pastor and theologian, Reinhold Niebuhr, delivered a sermon within which this prayer was said: God, grant me the serenity to accept the thing I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Similar to our current day pandemic, life during the Depression was difficult. The stock market had crashed. Businesses and jobs were lost. Food was scarce as people struggled to provide for their families. Every American was affected in one way or another. And that dark cloud of despair was unending. And yet, in many ways, out of the ashes came a silver lining through the simple prayer of hope. Now, I was first introduced to this serenity prayer unknowingly as a child. Hanging on the wall next to the kitchen table hung these words. It sort of hovered over us as we gathered for our meals. Over the days and months and years, I would read this prayer, and much like our church liturgy, it became a part of me. You see, it shaped me as a believer. It became a refuge. It became a beacon of hope. It became for me a silver lining. I don't know about you, but I never really considered this idea of silver linings until this pandemic. It wasn't until recently, listening to the radio, the host was discussing the pandemic and the effect it was having on all our lives. He encouraged his listeners to call in to share the hope that they had found in the midst of the despair. I was moved by these stories. In each one of the accounts, the common thread had to do with relationships, wives growing closer to husbands, husbands spending time with kids, and families growing together with God. It was in the little things that people were found to be grateful. Soon I began to see the many silver linings in my own story. Now, this idea of silver linings is not new. In fact, John Milton, a poet in the 17th century, wrote that every cloud in life has a silver lining. In other words, for every negative, there is a potential for something beneficial. For us as Christians, this idea of silver linings is foundational, and we see it throughout Scripture. The images of darkness and light, death and resurrection, sin and grace are the essence of what we believe. Each provides to us with an image of a dark cloud coupled with a silver lining of hope. Now, Paul, throughout all of his writings, was a beacon of this hope. He was called to preach the good news of the gospel, and he took this message of hope to all who would listen. Especially powerful was his letter to the church in Rome. Throughout this pandemic, I've been drawn to Paul's letter to the Romans. And with the help of John Stott and Martin Luther, I'm learning how important this letter was to not just the early Christians, but also to some of our later heroes of faith. Augustine of Hippo, Martin Luther, and Charles Wesley, like many, were transformed by this letter. Stott himself believes that it is one of the most influential resources of our time. The letter is deep when it comes to theology and church doctrine. And Paul's emphasis on justification and sanctification through grace and the Spirit, respectively, is critical to this message. Now, throughout Paul's letter to the Romans, he reminds us of the tension we experience as people of faith. And he carefully outlines the struggle between the law of sin and the concept of grace. You can feel his frustration. As much as he loves the law, he does not like the sin that comes with it. Paul is visibly torn, and he expresses it in a lament. He points out that he is divided when it comes to both the law and the Spirit. When it comes to the law, we are more comfortable with human doing than with being. Human doing puts us in control, and human being puts God in control. The thought of relinquishing control is counterintuitive, and it makes grace simply hard to embrace. I don't know about you, but I struggle with being divided myself. Like Paul, I'm aware of what I need to do, but so many times I can't seem to carry it out. The struggle is deep. And this is when I'm reminded of the sweet message of grace. And there, my friends, lies the silver lining. Paul teaches that the silver lining in the midst of the dark cloud of sin is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Grace is that silver lining. We are justified by grace through faith and sanctified through the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God over time that transforms us and makes us more like Christ. In the case of sin, the Spirit itself convicts, allowing us to confess, repent, and become anew. Now, it was about 30 years ago when this struggle hit home. Sitting in a church in London, the pastor, Nicky Gumbel, spoke of the divide between the Spirit and the flesh. And I remember him so clearly saying how important it was to be aware of the role of the Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit was the key to bridging the divide. More Spirit, he would pray. More of God and less of me. Richard Rohr writes in a similar way, challenging Christians to pray for the awakening of the Spirit from within. For many of us, the Spirit lays dormant and simply needs to be activated or released. In a similar way, the phrase, let go and let God is another way of bridging the divide between the flesh and the Spirit. Often my dad would say this when he was facing a dilemma, and it was his way of giving up control. The more control he had, the less open he was to God. And he realized the importance of giving it all back to him. Recently, I was asked about my greatest takeaway so far from this pandemic. And spiritually speaking, it would have to be my dependence on God. Things are not normal, and I've had to make some key adjustments. I've had to learn a new form of dependence. I've had to stop longer and seek out those silver linings. Taking things for granted is no longer an option. and I'm allowing myself to see things in a whole new way. Doing ministry here at St. Martin's is a perfect example. Without in-person contact, we have had to be creative in our interaction. Though it has taken some time to get used to, it has become our new normal. FaceTime is a perfect example. It has become our newest tool in pastoral care. Earlier this week, I reached out to a man who lost his wife of 60 years. And as you can imagine, he was distraught, and his darkness was unbearable. Overwhelmed with grief, I asked him about a silver lining. And without hesitation, he mentioned the resurrection. You see, he explained the glue that held his marriage together was the faith that they had in Christ. As sad as it was to let her go, he knew this was not the end. You see, resurrection was his hope. The resurrection was his silver lining. It was in that moment I was reminded of the 23rd Psalm. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, I certainly don't know where many of you are today. And perhaps you too are struggling and you find yourself overwhelmed with the circumstances of your life. I know how difficult that can be. And yet, if there is one thing that I'm sure of, it is this: that God loves you, that he is with you, and he will never abandon you. And so today I invite you, if even for a moment, that you take the time to stop, to be still, and to listen. And know that with every dark cloud, God himself promises each of us a silver lining of grace. Amen.